flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Sal back on the Fan at 11:03 on this Thursday. What's cooking, everybody? Get back to these Nick calls in a little bit. 888-808-1019. Also, a little later today, I'm going to power up and out of a little sign of recovery for our partner here, who is nursing. Let's face it. I mean, the picture.
Milking, being overdramatic.
But did you see the picture? And I've had a lot of surgeries, as you know, and I guess I did it as well. But I don't really think about it, number one, because when I have surgery, I'm groggy. Why the hell is he wearing something on his hair? He's got no hair. Or was that just for effect?
I mean, I think Sal knows how to make everything look extra, extra dramatic. And that's what he's going for. I'm surprised he wasn't rocking, like, you know, a Stone Cold shirt or something like that underneath, didn't rip off the, you know. I mean, he's always thinking of another way just to stick it to everybody.
He is. I think, really, he wanted a little sympathy there. That's the new Evolve Sal Licata. You know, he wanted people to feel sorry for him. So he'll be back Monday, so that'll be great. In the meantime, obviously, hang with you guys here. Has been a lot of fun the last couple days. Evan and Hop with their wacky experiment doing Knicks. We'll get back to these Nick calls, start to ease into the Super Bowl stuff. Obviously, next week, me and Sal bonkers with the Super Bowl. All right, so the Jets situation. So Steve Wilks, no surprise, obviously, here's the defensive coordinator. Not everybody loves it. I don't think Boomer loves it. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but it doesn't seem, from what I've heard, driving in the last couple days, you know, listening to those guys as I often do, doesn't seem like he loved it. He didn't rip it, but didn't love it. I love it. It's good. It's exactly what I wanted. You know, it's a guy who's coached. It's a guy who's been with good franchises. Yeah, I know he's been out of the league for a year. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think sometimes when you're out of the league for a year, I don't want more than that. But when you take a little respite, you get a chance to kind of self-evaluate. All right, what's going on with some of the new trends on offense around the league? What can I do? So I think that Glenn and Wilkes will be very much aligned. Not worried about that. And by the way, I know he's getting a little bit knocked around. This isn't from Boomer. But a lot of people do say, like, well, he was with the Niners and, you know, he did this in the Super Bowl. I think he only gave up 19 points, by the way, to the Chiefs in the actual Super Bowl, number one. Number two, they had a top 10 defense both in yards and points. So I think that was with, yeah, that was with the Niners in 2023. And I know that he got fired after 1 year, which maybe, all right, well, why did he get fired? Why did he get fired so quickly in Arizona? Well, Arizona's a mess. What do you want me to tell you? And when he got fired by the Niners, statistically, their defense took a step back the next year, which was this year, without him. So I think Wilkes is, listen, I'm not saying you're getting Buddy Ryan here or young Bill Belichick, but he's solid. He's good. I think he's reliable. I think he'll be stable. He's not going to try to jump past Aaron Glenn and, I'm going to become the coach. No, you're not. You're the DC. I think he'll be an asset. I really do like the hiring of Chris Banjo, special teams, from Denver. That's more of a Moogie thing. Is, by the way, Hoff, I keep hearing now Moogie. I don't know if it's those knuckleheads in the afternoon just saying Loogie, but I thought it was Moogie. I thought it was a soft G.
I thought we agreed on Moogie, so we should say our show is doing Moogie. Everyone else can do whatever they want.
You know, listen, the last thing I'm doing is following other shows, but I think they're not the only ones saying it. Like, I think I'm hearing some Moogie. Either way, you're right. Screw it. He's Moogie until he
Moogie,
corrects
Moogie, Moogie, terrible, great. I don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah, well, I mean, hopefully he's good. I won't even need great. I'll just stay competent at this point, Just don't whiff on the seventh overall pick. Don't make a dumb trade. Banjo is good. He's familiar with Moogie. That's why I got into the Moogie thing with Denver. Very highly sought after. Great track record. Very good write-up and scout report from Sean Payton. Good enough for me. And listen, this is when you get in the weeds, and this is just things that I didn't play. So, whether it's Tiki or Boomer, and I didn't really think about this because it's funny. I thought when I want to talk about the old line coach very quickly, when Steve Heiden is his name, and he was a 10 or 11 year tight end in the NFL, and he was named the old line coach. Now, it's the first time he's going to be the head old line coach. He was previously the assistant old line coach. And when I saw that, I'm like, not enough to get over the top nutty. But I'm like, well, what? You couldn't just hire an offensive line coach who had done it before. And Boomer's explanation was very interesting. He says, most of the better and many of the best offensive line coaches are former tight ends. Because when you're a tight end, you got to know every pass pattern. You got to know how to run block. Got to know how to pass block. Like, there's just more to do. And I'm like, it's pretty basic, but I never really thought about that, to be honest with you. I mean, if you're a left guard, you're not, you just have a different responsibility than a tight end who's going to, you have to get down the field, whether it's a chip block and then run around, whatever it might be. So I just thought it was a very smart, and again, basic, but interesting way of saying, all right, Steve Heiden could be a good hire. Listen, guys, the bottom line is this, man. I can get into the weeds on these resumes, which I won't because it's boring. All right, nobody wants to hear that kind of radio in 2025. What I'll tell you is this. And this goes without saying. This applies to every team in town. Doesn't matter what the press conference looked like, although it's definitely uplifting when it's a good one, unlike Gase or McAdoo. This was a good one. Aaron Glenn crushed it. Crushed it. Crushed it. Loved AG. But now you got to get players. Now you got to get a quarterback, and now you got to find out what's going on. And the next big move is obviously OC, and then by extension, the quarterback's coach, et cetera, passing game coordinator, blah, blah, blah. Here's what I would say. I don't know who he's going to hire as the OC. And I don't want to say I don't care, but there's nobody out there that I think the Jets have access to that is so appealing to me that I've got to throw names out. There's no terrific OC that's currently employed, in my opinion, that the Jets, even with more money, could incentivize to jump to come take the similar job without an upgrade. All right, so it's not even more about the name. It's more about this thought. It is completely independent of Aaron Rodgers. And by the way, the best part about this is, that this is exactly what Aaron Glenn's thinking. I mean, he beat us to it. He beat us to the questions. Hey, we already texted. We're not going to let this linger. We're going to find out quick. It's not about Aaron Rodgers. This is about the roster. And that is beautiful. It is simple. It is direct. It is not, he's not dissing the legend. Oh, look, he's not showing Rodgers the proper amount of respect. Who cares? What he's doing is he's talking as a leader. He's talking as a man who, when he goes in front of 53 guys or 100 guys in camp, whatever the number is, before they start cutting people, this man is going to command the entire room. And I know this is very cliche, but Robert Saleh couldn't do it. You know, pretty much every Jet before, a Jet head coach couldn't do that. You know, Adam Gase couldn't do it. I think Todd Bowles could do it and did do it. But once the roster became, I don't think his personality, there's not enough flexibility or enough, not pizzazz, because the bluster gets older after a while like Rex, but enough juice to maybe inspire a lackluster roster. You know what I mean? Like he was very sedate, very to the point, you know, very much an old school gentleman. Although I'm sure he can get you behind if he had to, but we know Todd's approach. I think his fluctuation is going to be really interesting. I think Aaron Glenn's going to go back and forth between being funny, between being like 1970s intense or 80s like Parcells, modern in terms of schematics. And I love the way, I think they're going to blitz a lot, which is what Wilkes loves to do. I love the fact that Aaron is not calling the plays. Because he could just now focus on being the head coach. And that is so refreshing. So whomever the OC is, and we'll react to the name whenever we get it. I know there's a couple out there. It's less about the name, and it's more about the thought. Hey, I'm not even thinking about running this by Aaron Rodgers. And you guys know me. I love Aaron. I want him back. There's not a better name out there. I've ran through every conceivable name. And it's not about Rodgers being a Super Bowl quarterback. It's about Rodgers being the most effective bridge quarterback. I've downgraded, you know. I thought last year maybe they could mess around, get to the Super Bowl. Now it's just about, hey, just be a bridge. Just end this 14-year malaise. Let the young guys know what it's like to play real games. Maybe play a playoff game. Maybe mess around like the Giants in 2022 and win one. And get the culture seeds planted. All right? Throw a little water on them during the season because Glenn's going to plant them in training camp, really OTAs. So I don't even confer with Rodgers. I definitely don't confer. I don't even really ask his opinion, like on the most basic level. What I do is I announce the hire. And then I talk to Aaron, and it's not like, hey, Aaron, do you want to play for this guy, whomever the coach is? It's, hey, you rolling with us or what? You know what we did? You know who we hired? You playing? I mean, maybe you soften it a little bit, but you're direct, and there is nothing to interpret. That's what's got to happen. And the best part about this is that's what Aaron Glenn's going to do. That's exactly what he's going to do. All right, 888-808-1019. So we're juggling the Jets, juggling the Knicks here. Let's go to Jeff in Hamilton, New Jersey. What's happening, Jeff?
Hey, BT, how are you?
Okay, Jeff, what's happening?
Full disclosure, I wanted to talk Rangers, but I have Jets thoughts. So I look at everything in life like from like a kind of a yin and yang kind of thing. I look at the positive with Glenn. He was a player. He was a scout. He played for the Jets. He's worked his way up. You know, he's obviously knowledgeable in football. I think he crushed the conference, like you said. All those things are good positives.
Mm-hmm.
I also think if the owners are going to be willing to give this guy more than a few years, like, because, you know, the Jets probably aren't going to be instantaneously successful. If they're going to give him time to build a culture, I think this is good. I also look at the negatives, though, and one of the negatives is Woody Johnson. I look at Rodgers as a negative because I think Rodgers is an old curmudgeon. I don't think he's a guy that, you know, he knows he's not going to be around much longer. If he's here another year, I don't look at him as somebody that's going to be helpful to Aaron Glenn. I obviously look at the, you know, it's New York, it's a polarized media, that's a negative. You know, this isn't like coaching anywhere else in the country. But I think given the fact if Woody's allowed to like allow this guy to do his thing, like you said, he's a man amongst men, he was a player, he was a coach, he definitely has respect of a locker room. I think this could be positive. But the biggest negative I want to say though is he's in the AFC, and that for the next 5 years or so is going to be a problem. The AFC is murderer's row right now, and that's a huge problem, is what I think.
Well, I mean, let's attack one thing at a time here, Jeff. If we start worrying about the state of the AFC, we're going to be depressed. I mean, understood, it's not going to be easy. Because, you know, if you happen to get past Patrick Mahomes or the Chiefs have a down year, guess what? I'm sure at some point Joe Burrow's going to get a capable defense. And guess what? You know, Herbert's not going to always throw four picks. He's going to get coached up by Harbaugh. And guess what? Lamar Jackson eventually is going to crack through. He's a tremendous all-time talent. you know, Josh Allen, a Hall of Famer, you know. And if they didn't have a couple of plays go against him, as they did this, but now he didn't play amazing. And McDermott's a good coach, not a great coach. Reed's just simply better. And Mahomes is better than Allen, but Josh Allen, highly capable. I get it. I mean, yeah, of course. That's going to dilute any level of enthusiasm for a Jet fan if we start talking about that stuff. But I ask you, and his first premise was, yeah, I don't really think Rodgers would be good. Okay, fine, I got that. Yeah, you're not alone. Not everybody wants Rodgers back like me. So what are the options? Let's actually count them. You want Sam Darnold for big money? I don't. You want Derek Carr? No. You want Fields? Yeah, I mean, not more than Rodgers, but that's like the only one that's even somewhat interesting to me. You want Kirk Cousins? Not a chance in hell. You want Jameis Winston? Not interesting in being the one to try to fix him. I'm sorry. You want Jacoby Brissett? No. I would have liked to stop him on third down this year when he ran for that, whatever that was. You know, but no, I don't want him on the Jets unless he's a backup. You want Andy Dalton? No. You want Mariota or Jimmy G? Or you want Flacco back or Mason Rudolph? No. That's why you rolled it back with Aaron Rodgers. Danny's in Centerport. Danny, what's cooking, buddy?
Hey, BT, how are you, my good man?
I'm good. How you doing?
All right. So BT, listen, I got a quick story for you, but I do want to give you my point, right?
Yep.
Like, I love Aaron Glenn, right? Like, do I think in my heart of hearts that he could be a good coach? Absolutely, right? But if I'm being totally honest with you and totally transparent and being straight from the heart, like, how the heck did we leave two Super Bowl winning coaches like on the sideline and not even kick the tires on at least interviewing them, right?
Yeah.
Or even three, right? Between Doug Peterson, Pete Carroll, and
McCarthy.
And McCarthy. And McCarthy. How could we have not beat
them? That's fair. And by the way, Danny, hold on, Dan. I'm going to let you get to your next point, I promise. But listen, that's something that Sal was saying. Sal brought up Pete Carroll very early. And I'm like, oh, boy, I didn't even think of Pete. I just kind of thought he was done. He was getting a little bit old, whatever. But at least have the conversation. Like that, I never shot that down. Have a talk.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and the only thing I could say about that, I mean, I have zero connections. I have one minor connection to the organization. And I was told from this buddy of mine that Pete Carroll didn't even want to interview for the job. So if that was the case, fine. You know what I mean? You let him go. But at least kick the tires on the other two guys. You know what I mean? But, you know, listen, again, BT, in my heart of hearts, I feel like he's going to be a good coach. He needs to surround himself with quality coordinators. So far, I'm okay like you with Steve Wilks. He's got to give me an offensive coordinator that's been down the road, has made calls, and has had some skin in the game. You know what I mean? So my fast story, BT, because you're patient with me. I appreciate it.
I got you.
I'm in Tampa Bay at Innisbrook playing Copperhead, which is a golf course, which I'm sure you heard of down in Tampa
Bay. I've heard of it.
I dropped my golf bag on the golf range, and it's a Jet golf bag, of course. And in my day, I think I've told you this before, I was a pretty good player. I was probably like anywhere from a 3 to a 5.
Wow.
So I was pretty darn good.
Okay.
I'm hitting the ball real well. I stopped for a second. I look to my left, BT, and it's Aaron Glenn hitting balls next to me. Now, he stops. He sees my bag. He says, hey, my fellow Jeff. And I'm like, oh, my God. I shake his hand. He stops and watches me hit the ball. Now I'm a little nervous.
Yeah.
I'm hitting the ball really well. BT, he invites me to play with him. I played with him and Ray Minkins on a 4-hour round in Tampa. It was the best day of my life, bro.
That's an awesome story.
Right, bro? And he couldn't stop talking about BT, about talking about the fake spike. For two out of the 4 hours, he was so aggravated that he was beat by Marino on that fake spike. It still burns him up.
No, hold on a second, Danny. So I can promise you. The fake spike's interesting. That is an awesome story. But I can promise you that, like, Aaron Glenn wasn't, on the fourth fairway debating if he should hit a 5 or a 6 iron, and he suddenly said to Danny from Centerport, you know, boy, it still chaps me that I got burned on the... Why did you bring that up to him?
We just were talking about certain plays that scouts on a BT. We were just talking about certain plays, the Jumbo Elliott catch, things like that.
Miracle.
And he was like... And he's the one that brought it up. He goes, do not reference Dan Marino in the spike because I still can't get over it. And then he snowballed and went on and on.
That's awesome.
Good stuff, man.
That's a good story. Thank you, Danny. That's awesome. I mean, I liked Ray Mickens a lot, too. Ray was good. That was my favorite Jets team of all time. Even better than Rex's team. I loved that team. My God. Vinny, Curtis, Wayne, Keyshawn. You had a good old line. You had Parcells. You had a good staff. Aaron Glenn, Ray Mickens. Oh, God. That was a good team, man. Even then, they didn't really have a tight end who could catch the ball. Like, Kyle Brady was there. Oh man, that team, they were right there. You know, too, and the point about, and I get it, the point about not at least having a conversation with the accomplished coaches. The one thing that you guys have to understand, and I remember this, this goes back to years where St. John's fans would ask me, not necessarily about Pitino, though that was sometimes his name would come up. Like, you know, hey, how come St. John's won't reach out and talk to this guy or that guy? Or and I tell him, well, you know, sometimes either number one, it's too much money, or number two, the school doesn't have the appetite to hire this person, maybe based on some things that happen off the court, whatever it might be. But you guys have to understand that just because, and I'll use Pete Carroll for a second because that's what came up. Say if the Jets wanted to have a conversation with Pete Carroll and they quietly reached out to his reps and they were rebuffed and they were told politely, hey, listen, we have no interest coming to the East Coast. Thank you. Well, then why the hell would the Jets make it public that they want to interview him? Because then they just look like they're at the altar and they're not interested. So just because a team doesn't talk to, like, legitimately interview them for a job that we don't understand how they couldn't be interviewed for, like a former Super Bowl winning coach, doesn't mean they didn't do their due diligence and at least get a sense of that person would be interested in having a
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Conversation happens all the time. What are we gonna do, baby? Oh, no, we're gonna have to make this a little louder, please. Come on, little heavy team. Let's show some respect, though. Come on, here we go. Hold on.
One, two, tell me what you got. Let me slip my corner side, you slap the hip, the jackpot. Rev me up, my little buttercup.
There you go. I like it. 11:29 BT and Sal here on The Fan. So I was just, this is how you know St. John's is rolling. I was just scrolling through Instagram before, and Mike Francesa on his podcast. I didn't listen to it, but I see Mike, and I see, you know, of course, the doctor earbuds that he had, and he still wears. They look like the stethoscope thing. And it says, can St. John's make a run? Mike is into it. If you know, Mike is doing pods on Bet Rivers about this. You know he's excited. And I heard from somebody at St. John's this morning. They've already got over 17,000 tickets for Saturday against Providence. That's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait to get there. We get back to the Nick calls, the Jet stuff, 888-808-1019. I've got a question for you, Hoff. Although, Dove would probably be better equipped to answer this, but...
No, I'm good.
Yeah, but Hoff is better on the air, so I'm going to answer. I'm going to ask Hoff. So, with Boone coming in the other day, and let's be honest, taking it on the chin from the BT and Sal show. I mean, you know, he walked in a winner, kind of walked out just specific to baseball cards, walked out a loser, 0-2.
Yeah.
And we love Boney. I would love, and this is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. Maybe we do this publicly. We want to get Mendoza in here. Now the Mets manager's got to come in. Like, we've got some big designs for this. And I would love to do it with Francesa. I've said that. And, you know, Sal and Mike are pretty tight. And I know Mike enough to, you know, shoot him a text very randomly. I don't profess to have a great relationship with Mike, but I respect him, and I think he respects me. Do you think that Mike... Now, Sal couldn't answer this because Sal's always kissing his ass. You have to answer this.
Yes.
Do you think that Mike would be able to put his ego on hold to the point where he would do this against us and risk losing.
Well, after hearing his sons, because they did a show with Sal during the holidays, they basically said there's no winning. Like, there's no beating their father. There's no beating Mike Francesa.
At what?
At anything.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Well, but that's what they said. You don't.
They referred to a sports debate in
well,
the house.
Okay, yeah. But no, still, I think in life.
Play one-on-one tonight, Mike. Do a little horse, Mike. Nah, keep going.
But so, like, it's impossible.
By the way, I met his son, Harrison. Good kid.
Oh, they're great
good
kids.
Kid.
Harrison, Jack, great kids.
Yeah, I haven't met Jack yet.
But yeah, so the point is, like, I don't know if he's going to put himself in a spot where he would lose.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm asking you.
So I don't think he'll do it. And here's the other thing, too. I don't think he'll come in for it. I think we'd have to get him on, like, Zoom. At the best that we get.
That part I absolutely agree with. There is no way.
No,
So let me get this straight. The guy who worked here, the guy whose studio is named after him, the all-time radio legend, Mount Rushmore, of course, Mike and the Mad Dog, but also Mike by himself, will not come back to his old station where he was for basically 20 years. But Aaron Boone, the Yankee manager, will come by himself without a PR person, sit in a room with two guys who constantly blast some of the moves that he makes. And Sal called him a data applicator, and we love him. But I've been on Booney for years about not getting on Gleyber Torres and some other stuff. Boone will park his own car, not ask for the money back, all right? And he'll do it, and Mike won't.
Yeah, well, like, Boone's a little younger. Francesa is worn and torn from all the years of doing this. He doesn't need to come in. He's got his house
That's
now.
True.
He
That's
goes
true.
Downstairs, goes basement, he presses record.
I don't even think that he would do that. I really don't even think he would do the Zoom. Like, I think Sal's kind of thrown it out to him, and Mike's kind of lukewarm. And I don't think it's because he's afraid to lose. I just think that he's done with WFAN, and I respect that. Like, he wants us to do, this is our time and the other people's time. I really believe that that's part of it. Like, Mike is not a reflector as much as he is forward. That's a good mindset. That's why he's one of the best. But if he ever got in here, or if he was thinking about it, I'm not trying to talk out of school. I don't think he would suppress the ego enough to risk losing to us. I don't.
Like I said, he doesn't really lose. He doesn't lose. Even if it's debates, card games, I don't think
he's not going to play. Wait, here's the difference. Debates are subjective. Card games are not. Did you win? Did you lose?
There's one more factor here.
Yes.
If you got a card wrong, it's because Topps was wrong, not because he was wrong.
Yeah, of course. Oh, yeah. There was a glitch in the manufacturing. The warehouse in 1977 had a work stoppage, and therefore they stamped the wrong year. Yeah, you're right. All right, 888-808-1019. Mike, Mikey Francesa. Hold on, Frank. The invitation's there for you, big dog. We'll treat you with the respect you've earned. Come on in. Frank is in Bay Ridge. What's happening, Frank? Frank.
BT, you're a beast, BT.
I'm a beast. That's new. Okay, I'll take it. I like that.
Yeah. And you know why, too? Because you got Mr. Salvatore, right, who epitomizes, right, the softness of the teams that he follows this week.
Frankie, come on. My boy's healing up here, Frankie. You going to start taking shots at Sal? Come on.
I'm sorry, Salvatore. You can call me back after Salvatore. But he's talking about, hey, listen to him today. Like, my friends are sending me on, like, because I go back and forth with them on a little group chat, mm-hmm. this and that. About the Knicks, they're all high on the Knicks. Yes, listen, we're winning games, but he's like, oh, you're slandering Tibbs and this and that. Why don't we go and win a big road game? You know, once you go out and you go into Boston mm-hmm. and you smack them around,
yeah.
okay, then we can talk, okay? Not that we're home, we're in our beds, right? We're relaxing on a five-game, six-game homestand, smacking around West Coast teams who probably are chilling in the city the night before,
mm-hmm.
okay? God knows what they're doing, uh-huh. okay? Like, you can tell they give up. They just give up during these games. But when you go on the road and you play that way, it's a different story.
Yeah.
Okay, then we'll talk Knicks. Then we'll talk the toughness, the drooling that you want, mm. right? Those Bulldogs.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
We'll talk then.
But so Frank, you with me? You think they need a little move here? Otherwise, they're a little short this year.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, who's the guys off the bench? Like, I know Marcus Smart used to start, maybe come off the bench. Like, who are those guys? Yes. Do I love Deuce McBride? I love him.
Me too.
But playoff time, you get, like, Achua, he's going to get, like,
he's not going to be the Achua that's playing these games right now, like these easy dunks and these, you know, these dribble behind the back. Like, who's the guys that are going to come in your second rotation, okay, that's going to put a dent in the scoreboard when you have to rest these players? Because the fourth quarter last year, if you could tell in the playoffs, the fourth quarter, they had no legs.
That's why I want Valanciunas. That's why I gave you a name there, Frank, and that's a good call. I will tell you, watching the Knicks with Deuce coming off the bench, like when he was out with the hamstring, and watching him now that he's got his wheels underneath him, I love McBride. I've always liked him, always. And that was a really astute move by Leon Rose, because that kind of came out of nowhere. I remember we were on the air, and Hop's like, I think he hit the breaking news sound. Remember, you know, that was one that actually applied. There was real breaking news. And Deuce McBride signed for like 3 years, 13 or 3 years, 11, somewhere in that neighborhood. I'm like, ooh, okay. That was out of nowhere. I'm like, that's a pretty forward-thinking move where, think about if you're McBride, you know, you sign for peanuts, second-round pick, you don't have a ton of money in the bank. You haven't really secured the bag yet. And you know, granted, you know, between taxes and agents and whatever, you can squander $13 million very fast if you're not smart. But if you are smart, you know, and then you get one more contract on top of that, I mean, you've got multiple generations that are doing pretty well. So, but from a Nick perspective, it could pay big dividends because you do it a little early rather than late. So you're not paying for past performance. It was just a good contract for both, is what I'm saying. And I love Deuce McBride. He's got stones. He does. He's the kind of guy, he could be 1-for-7 on the road. You know, and Starks was like this, even though he's obviously a different player than John. I think he's a little more refined, a little less erratic, a little more consistent. But, you know, Deuce can start 1-for-6, 1-for-7, and he's not going to hesitate to take that next shot. And that's what you need. He's one of those. He's a pit bull. He's a dog. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal and all the fan. Back to the calls here. See what's going on. A little jet stuff. We're going to power up next hour. 120. We're going to power up as well. And it's an homage to my one-eyed partner right now. The best songs. The top five songs with I in the title. So we'll get to that. All right, 11:46, BT and Sal back on the fan. Brandon's here to Sal Licata Show. 888-808-1019 is the number. That's 1-888-808-1019. Let's get back to these calls. Talking a lot of Knicks today. Little Jets as Aaron Glenn continues to round out the staff. Let's get Mario Long Beach. Mario, what's happening?
I can't imagine.
Mario. All right, buddy. I'll put him on hold here. I don't want to just hang up on the guy. Let's go to, thank you. How about David in Bridgewater? Dave.
Hey, BT, how's everything?
Everything's good, buddy. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Quick Jets question for you. So I was wondering now that kind of like the dust settled with Glenn coming in and establishing his group, so to speak. I'm wondering if I bring him back to Rodgers for a second and what's going to be the situation with him. A little hypothetical for you. So I'm wondering, would you take one of two scenarios here? Would you run it back with Rodgers and the same squad with a rejuvenated perhaps team with some clarity and symmetry now, would you take a chance at running it back with Rodgers and guaranteeing that you at least make the playoffs and play with house money from there?
Uh-huh.
Or would you rather have the new GM, Moogie, whatever his name, would you rather him pull a New York Mets, if you will, a la Scherzer and Verlander, and dump Rodgers in any way, shape, or form that gets a net result in some financial flexibility as it pertains to players that will help build the future for years to come, but there are no playoffs next year? What would you choose?
I got to tell you, man, it's really one of the best questions I've been asked about this, because that really is the heart of the issue. All right, so it's not as simple as you make it out, like, because if you get rid of Rodgers, there's dead money, and it's not like...
Right, trading Scherzer and Verlander away, and that helped to open up, you know,
yeah,
a
but
lot
there's
of
no salary cap in baseball, if you're willing to just take it on the chin. Okay, so that's why I'm saying it's not apples to apples, but I get your point.
Sure.
See, I would say, this is going to seem like a cop-out, but listen, you know I'm going to always give you an opinion, but I'm never going to run from that. I love it. But I can't give you a direct answer now, because I'll try, but I just want to get there. I want to cross this bridge and take you through my thought process. If we wake up tomorrow and the news is the Jets are moving on from Aaron Rodgers, okay? Not even that he's moving on from them. They're moving on from him, which is what you asked me. Well, then that tells me, David, that Muji and Glenn, because they said this at the press conference, sat down, watched every single snap, and they no longer determined that they can win enough with him. And I would respect that decision. I want it to be the opposite, but I'm going to trust their instincts. If it's the other way and they sit down, they say, hey, we can be a wild card team and maybe a little more if we, you know, get a few reinforcements here, then I prefer that because I do believe it's better for Glenn long term to get some wins early, to speed up the culture of winning. The young players get used to winning. But if they think Rodgers is cooked, then I'm fine with that.
Right. I hear you. Thanks, BT.
You got it, buddy. It's a long, twisting answer. That's why it took me a little while to get there. It's just not as direct. It's the money question. It's the question. It really is, man. Now, I've said a few times, you've heard me say, I think there's value in winning in year one. This way you kind of get a little equity. Well, those who don't necessarily agree with me on that, your response should be, not that I'm trying to beat myself in a debate, but I'm just trying to look at it from every angle because it's complex. You should say, well, then what about Dable? I mean, Dable had a good first year, and basically every Giant fan wants him gone. Well, then I would say to you, yeah, you're probably right, and I would have moved on with all due respect to Dable and Shane. I would have, I've said that. It's a matter of record. I would have moved on from both men, but whatever. I wish them well. They're still here. The reason Dable, in my opinion, is still here is because he won 9 games his first year. You know what I mean? So I think from Aaron Glenn's perspective, if they go 9-8, if they go 10-7, and they make a wild card, they win, they lose, they just miss a wild card, but they play that 18th week, that 17th game, win, you're in, kind of like up in 2015 or 16 with Bulls, I guess, was that 15? Oh, they all blend together, jeez. When they lost up in Buffalo, I think that was 15. I could be off. It could have been 16, but I think it was 15 with Fitzpatrick and Decker and Marshall. And, yeah, like, say if we took that exact situation this year and they fall short again, yeah, it would sting, but it's better than going 4-13. And if the Jets start 1-3 in year two, every Jet fan's like, oh, geez, they didn't hire the right guy. That's just not good for anybody. Now patience starts to wear thin, and now it's a mess. Chris is up in Connecticut. What's happening, Chris? How you doing?
BT, how are you?
Good, Chris.
All right, so this is the year for the Red Foxes, BT. They play St. John's in the tourney. Who are you going for?
Oh, my God. My alma mater or St. John's? You know, I saw this on the screen, and I thought you might go there. This is a tough one. Now, I know that everybody doesn't care about this, but I got to at least give you a little backdrop. So many of you know I went to Marist. I love Marist. By the way, yesterday, Marist just turned from Marist College into Marist University. It's a huge day for the school. I love Marist. And I'm taking the family up there in February to watch a game. All right? I go up there every year. Very close to a lot of people still. Now, Marist has not been to the NCAA tournament since 1987. Before I graduated a decade later. So, God, I just want to watch Marist play once in the tournament.
I'm with you.
It would be so, Chris, it would be so unfair. For me, I don't care about anybody else in this equation. For me, if Marist played St. John's. Now, St. John's will not be a one seed. And if Marist gets in, and they could, and a little worried about Merrimack, a little worried about Quinnipiac, but they wouldn't play in the first round. So the likelihood is almost zero, almost. If it got to that equation, I'm going to have to give you an answer, right? Oh, jeez. I'm going to hate myself for this answer. I'm going to have to say St. John's.
Oh.
I know. It doesn't that suck that I have to say that? But can I at least give you my thought process why?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So if St. John's and Marist played in the tournament, like as much as, I mean, yeah, it would be amazing. And I guess never say never because St. Peter's got to the Elite Eight, right? So you never know. But like if Marist went on some crazy run, it doesn't, yes, I'd take a lot of pride and I would be there. But it wouldn't do anything for my bank account, which is not my prime motivation, I promise. It's not. I don't get rich doing St. John's games, breaking news. All right. And I wouldn't make a dime if Marist got to the tournament. It would just really reinforce the pride. And I would be happy. But if they played St. John's and they beat him, now St. John's is done. A win for St. John's in the tournament does more for my life professionally. Because then I'd be calling games and I'd be I'd be there. It would just be different. I'd have to say St. John's. I'm sorry, Chris. Sorry.
All right. All right.
Are you disappointed with that? You are disappointed, aren't you?
Listen, I'm with UBT. We're similar years. I'm still haunted by the 4-point play at home, that game that they should have. That was the year.
I was there.
So
I was at the game.
I was there too.
Oh, God. All right, Chris. But, yo, you better believe I'm paying attention to what Coach Dunn is doing up there in Poughkeepsie. I text him all the time. I text him all the time after wins. By the way, he's a New York guy. Coach Dunn, who was at St. Peter's and is now coaching Marist, and he went to Archbishop Molloy. He's a CHSAA guy. He's a great guy. And he was teammates with Kenny Anderson, with Coach Curran, back for the Stanners back in the day. He's a great defensive coach, and they're doing really well. Really nice to see. Well, how are you going to hit me with that question? Like, St. John's and Marist are finally both amazing, and that's what I'm going to get hit with. Who do you want to win?
Hey, which kid do you like more?
Depends what we're doing. That's a fair answer. I used to say to my mom, Kinder, I still do. I'm like, come on, man, you know I'm your favorite, right? She's like, no. Yeah. I mean, no disrespect to my sister. I think in certain ways I'm her favorite, and probably certain things that I do that annoy her, that annoy her, maybe makes my sister more favorite at certain things. But I don't think there's anything wrong, like, not that we'll do it on the air, but there's certain things I'd rather do with my son, and there's certain things I'd rather do with my daughter. That's okay. Are we going to have to lie? What's wrong with that?
No, we stretch the truth a little bit.
Well, a little bit, but you would agree. You have three children, right? Aren't there different things that you prefer doing with each kid?
There's certain things I'd like to do with certain kids. There's certain things I would like to take away from certain kids.
Yes, that goes definitely. Certain things, it's like pulling teeth. Certain things, it's so easy. Oh, you get everything as a dad. You get it all.
And then you get stuck with your wife afterwards.
I got a note the other day from one of the teachers.
Oh.
It's the first time this has really happened. A little disruptive in music class. My son was getting a little disruptive.
How old's Colt?
Just turned 10. And he had his big orchestra last night, the big winter, what do they call it? Winter
recitals.
Yeah, I guess like a recital. I always thought recital was more like, my daughter's had a ton of recitals, but it was great. They had like classic music. We were so proud of him playing the violin. Like none of his teammates do it. Like he's, you know, we're doing violin. It's going to enhance your mind. You can pick the instrument. We're going to do music for a little bit. And he had to get that stupid email that he was a little disruptive for a couple days. So I think I told you this before the show. The way I handled it, I think this was actually brilliant on my part. I don't know if it's going to work, so maybe it's not brilliant. But I thought it was brilliant in the moment. I said, listen to me. I let mommy get on him a little bit. Mommy laid down the hammer, which was nice. Which is great. Like when mommy, because daddy usually gets there first. When mommy gets there first, now daddy could come in softer and differently. And that I like that change up. It's becoming a good pitch for me. You know, too often I got to throw the cheese. Well, anyway, so when Jen was done, I said, sit down. I said, listen to me, knucklehead. I said, you have to understand some of the kids in music class approach music like you approach sports. I said, how would you feel if you were at practice? And I don't know, not that he was doing this, because I'd beat his ass if he was doing this. Like if you're taking batting practice and somebody's throwing pennies at you as the ball or whatever, I don't know, throwing books at you while you're trying to take batting, how would you feel? What would you do? And he got it, I think. You know, we'll see. This was only 2 days ago. But yeah, that's like one of the first notes we've gotten about a little disruption in class.
I got one the other day, too.
You did?
Yeah, Anthony, the 7-year-old.
I love Ant. Love him.
He couldn't explain to me what he did. But
they never could.
Yeah.
Because they're afraid.
Yeah. I'm like, just tell me what he did. And he said he did some sort of dance as he went to the bathroom. And that was making everyone laugh, and that wasn't good.
And of course, you're going to say, all right, because you half believe him, because nobody's getting a note sent home if you're dancing. So you know we did more, and he just left
he
it out.
He definitely did. But I couldn't even, like, yell at him. Yeah, like, what are you doing?
I'll tell you what he's doing. He's doing what we did. He's getting his old school hustle on, lying to mom and dad.
Exactly.
Who's doing?
At 7.
Hey, didn't you do the same thing?
Not successfully, though. He gets away with it.
Well, because you're softy. Triple A, you're probably on the gummy when you were trying to yell at him.